engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers. So he went down, as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place. And when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what mercy is, brothers and sisters. That's what mercy is, and that's what mercy does, and that's the gospel. That's the gospel that Paul said we cannot change but must faithfully preach. And that's the gospel in which Saint Faustina believed, the one to whom the revelation of the mercy of God and the chaplet of divine mercy, which I know that many of you pray, as do I, was revealed. And she's celebrated and honored today by the church. So we have some beautiful themes coming together here. The faith always holds together in all its different parts. St. Faustina revealed this mercy of God. And mercy is, yes, the forgiveness of sins. And if you know from the diary of St. Faustina, a thick volume of writings like this, explaining the chaplet of divine mercy, the Lord gave her that chaplet specifically and especially for praying reparation for the sin of abortion, for all the sins of the world. But when her confessor, in the process of her beatification and canonization, was asked at one point, any sin in particular that the Lord told her that the city of Warsaw was going to be punished for unless this mercy of God was invoked? And he said, yes, particularly the sin of abortion. And St. Faustina was enabled to experience terrible pains in her abdomen. You remember at one point she says in the diary, "I was experiencing these pains each night. I asked the Lord to take them away. They wouldn't go away. I asked what they meant. And the Lord revealed that they were to put her in solidarity with the women aborting their children, to be a reminder that that was happening, that that is an evil." And you know, when you think about that, what a remedy the Lord gives to our ability to put things off into an abstract realm. That's what we do with abortion. We just kind of put it off into an abstract corner of our minds. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to address it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to face up to it. see the victims, touch the victims, do what this Good Samaritan did in the gospel. We do what the priest and the Levite do, pass by on the other side. Oh, I don't want to touch that issue. I don't want to talk about that. They passed by on the other side. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., whose niece Alveda is part of our ministry here at Priests for Life, and we've talked about this with her, the night before he was assassinated, the last talk he gave to those warriors of the civil rights movement was about this gospel passage. And he said, look, he said that road from Jerusalem to Jericho was called the Bloody Pass because it was very sharp and dangerous curves, and robbers were able to hide right around the bend and attack their victims unsuspectingly. And maybe the Levite and the priest, who knew the dangers of that road and the robbers, maybe they thought when they saw that victim on the side of the road, if I stop to help this man, what's going to happen to me? Maybe more robbers are right around the corner and they'll get me next. What's going to happen to me? But he said the Good Samaritan reversed the question. And instead of asking, if I stop to help this man, what might happen to me? The Samaritan asked, if I don't stop to help this man, what will happen to him? We have to reverse the question when it comes to the victims of any injustice. We are opposed to all injustice and violence and degradation or trampling on human rights. If I don't stop to help this victim, if I don't intervene for this person who does not have a voice or a power of their own, if I don't speak up for the oppressed, if I don't try to save the helpless, what will happen to them? That's the question we need to be asking. And that's the question that inspires every great cause for human rights and justice, including the pro-life movement, fighting the greatest injustice of all, the evil of abortion. If I don't stop to help these children, what will happen to them? We gladly take on the risk. St. Faustina gladly accepted the pain. The Lord was reminding her, this is not something in the abstract. There's real victims here. There's real people. The battle over abortion is not just about beliefs. It's about bloodshed. It's not just about viewpoints. It's about victims. It's about stopping and helping and getting involved and taking the victim on, lifting the victim onto our own animal and taking them to the inn and caring for them and paying with our own money, investing ourselves, putting ourselves in danger, putting in some effort, paying some money, doing some things that invest us in the care for the helpless. So many of you are doing that in the pro-life movement. It means putting our neck out also in these elections. We have to, you know, you're not going to just make abortion go away like with some kind of a wish and a magic wand. It's got to be through concrete action. We've got to get into that voting booth. If you want good laws, elect good lawmakers. You want pro-life laws, elect pro-life lawmakers. It's simple as that. You want pro-life court decisions, put judges on the courts that are going to make pro-life decisions. It's as simple as that. That's why we have to be active in mobilizing and educating and bringing voters to the polls right now. Voting has begun. Every day, reach out to and find and mobilize and bring as many like-minded voters as you can. All of this is part of the gospel. You know, the mercy of God is not just the forgiveness of sins. And of course, we bring the mercy of God to those that have had abortions. We bring that mercy constantly. I'm the pastoral director for Rachel's Vineyard. We've given forgiveness to people who have confessed having 5 or 10, as many as 25 abortions we've helped people that have had. We've helped abortionists come to the mercy of God, who with their own hands have killed thousands of babies. We have a long track record of bringing the mercy of God to these people. And through our Silent No More campaign, we make it clear through the testimonies of those that have done abortion and had abortions and found mercy, we make it clear that the invitation to that mercy is being urgently repeated every day. This is part of the gospel. But the first step of mercy is life. That's the first expression, manifestation of God's mercy to us, is that he created us out of nothing. So the mercy doesn't only involve forgiving sins. The mercy involves doing what we were just talking about, intervening to save the helpless victim. God shows us mercy in rescuing his people from Egypt. God shows us mercy in rescuing us from sin and death in Jesus Christ. He showed us mercy in rescuing us from the nothingness in which we all were before we were conceived. And yet here we are. How is it that we're here? We didn't do anything to ask for it or deserve it. We weren't there to do the doing or do the asking. It's pure mercy, pure gift, God's initiative, God's choice, God's mercy. Now, final point, all of this is tied up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a pro-life gospel. It's a gospel about mercy. It's a gospel about protecting the helpless. It's a clear teaching. We cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ unless we're practicing these things. Believing and practicing. The intervention for the helpless, the opposition to abortion, the protection of these children and of all victims of all acts of violence, and the mercy and the forgiveness of sins. This is integral to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now notice what Paul says to the Galatians. There are people that are going to come along and preach to you different gospels, or they may take the gospel of Christ and start, you know, picking and choosing like from a Chinese menu, or editing and deleting like you do on a Word document. Oh, I don't like this portion. Select, delete. You can't do that with the gospel. The gospel is a living person, Jesus Christ. All the pieces of it hold together as one, in one organic living unity. And you accept one, you accept all. It's an all or nothing proposal. It's the living Christ who brings us the fullness of his truth. So Paul says that this idea of believing in the gospel, okay, being a Christian, or for some of us being a Catholic, it has a meaning. It has a content. It's got a definition to it. It's got boundaries to it. It's got a content. And he says, look, there is no other gospel. So if somebody comes and brings to you a different gospel, quote unquote, different set of teachings, he says, don't listen to them. Even if it's an angel from heaven. In other words, Paul is distinguishing here between our subjective experience and an objective standard of what to believe. Our subjective experience. Oh, the Lord just spoke to me and he told me, or oh, this preacher was very persuasive. Oh, this priest, he sounds very knowledgeable. And you know, I like to listen to him and I followed him. Or this bishop, or this cardinal, or this pope. Oh, you know, they said something. Oh, you know, I follow it and I believe it. We may have that experience, right, ourselves. Oh, I read this book. Did you see this latest book? Oh, this book gave me a new understanding of the gospel. Well, okay. But Paul gives us a standard other than what we found persuasive, what we found meaningful. We were in awe listening to this angel that appeared to us from heaven. Paul says, wait a second. There's another standard here. And the standard comes across in two phrases in this passage here that we read from Galatians. About the gospel, he says, here are the two phrases. The one that we preached to you. And the other phrase, the one that you received. Brothers and sisters, the one that we preached to you, the one that you received. Paul is referring to an historical circumstance. There were preachers sent to you by Jesus Christ. They handed on to you the gospel, the message from Jesus to these apostles, to you. As Paul says elsewhere, how will they believe unless they hear? How will they hear unless someone preaches? Preachers are sent, commissioned by God, as was he. And he says, look, there is a gospel that has already been preached. So there's an historical given. There is a preaching that has happened. A gospel that has been preached and received by you. That's the standard. Now, it doesn't matter if you hear someone that sounds more persuasive or makes you start doubting what you have already heard, believed, and received and has been preached to you, or someone that starts calling it into question or says, well, you can accept this portion of it, but not the other portion, or someone who says the gospel you received and that was preached to you, well, part of it is not pertinent anymore. Part of it is obsolete now. This part has changed. We've gotten a new understanding of human sexuality. We've gotten a new understanding about this, about that, about the other thing. Oh, it's different now. And oh, this person is persuasive. Oh, this person is learned. Oh, this person wears clerical attire. Oh, this person has all these degrees. Oh, this person has a big follower. Oh, this person is nice to listen to. Oh, I saw an angel from heaven. Brothers and sisters, there are some who wish to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we, notice he even says, not even might it be someone else. He said the standard is not the one who's talking to you. The standard is the gospel we preached, past tense, the gospel we preached to you and that you received. Period, amen. You received the revelation from Jesus Christ. That doesn't change. And so when we have confusion within the church, it's not about who's talking to you or what authority they claim, or even if they're an angel from heaven, or even if it's the same people who preached you the gospel before. Doesn't matter. You don't listen to them. What you listen to is the gospel that has already been preached and received. What has the church always done? Taught. What has the Christian community always held? It's unchanging. We deepen our understanding of it, but not to the point where we start throwing off different pieces of it. Even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach to you a gospel other than what you have received, let them be accursed. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for the Good Samaritan and his example. Thank you for St. Faustina and all that she teaches us. Thank you for the gift of life and for the privilege of defending it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your gospel. I have received it. I have heard it preached. And I will be faithful to it without change and without end. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.